Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names, and the name to which one day every knee shall bow. That's right, dear listener. The Bible says one day, and that day is drawing nigh, when every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. He truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to which every human being and every earthly ruler that ever lived will answer one day. That includes Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller. That includes George Bush's 1 and 2. That includes the CFR and the CIA and the IRS and the KGB. I rejoice that one day soon, every lie will be exposed and every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus. And by the way, whether you like it or not, that includes you too. This is Pastor Sam Adams, welcoming you to the Independence Broadcast on the Liberty Works Radio Network. On last week's broadcast, we discussed what I believe is one of the most important issues facing the church today, and that is who controls the local church, the Lord Jesus or the state? As I explained in that broadcast, if your church is organized as a tax-exempt corporation within the meaning of the Internal Revenue Code, that your church is not and cannot be a true New Testament Bible church. The reason for that is twofold. First, corporations are by definition and by law created by the state, not by the Lord Jesus. And as was made abundantly clear in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Hale v. Hinkle back in 1906, what the state creates, the state controls. Therefore, the head and master for every incorporated church is not the Lord Jesus, it is the state. Now, as it was also made abundantly clear in the Hale v. Hinkle decision, the Bible cannot be the sole authority for faith and practice in a corporate church. Because in a corporate church, the supreme written authority by law is the corporation's charter and its constitution and bylaws, not the Bible. Now then, as if incorporation was not bad enough, which it is, the incorporated so-called church then goes to the IRS to humbly beg for tax exemption pursuant to Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code, which again places the Bible under the authority of the Internal Revenue Code, which is a further abandonment of the doctrine of the sole authority of the Scriptures for faith and practice. And also, as we showed last week, that said tax exemption is a trap, which has been intentionally baited and sprung by the federal government to lure and to draw the churches outside of constitutional protection, and thereby to control the churches and to silence the pulpits and preachers of America, to prevent them from crying out against wicked government policies as they should have been doing ever since FDR brought in socialism. Now, as we pointed out last week, for the churches to enter into this treacherous contract with the state to remain silent on political issues before the legislature constitutes a grievous, abominable sin. In fact, for all practical purposes, it is a sin very similar to taking the mark of the beast in Revelation 13 upon the church and betraying the lordship of Christ by bowing to the supremacy of the state, making the state your God rather than the Lord Jesus. It's an act of outright idolatry and a violation of the first command that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to see this. If you have not contacted us to receive a copy of the MP3 files for last week's broadcast of the idolatrous evils of church incorporation and tax exemption, I suggest you do so by sending us an email at independencebaptistchurch@yahoo.com, or you can reach us by phone at 352-425-9901. Now, at this point, I want to recap and expand a little bit on last week's discussion on the biblical limitations of the civil government. You know, as soon as you mention any type of biblically mandated resistance to out-of-control government, some brainwashed, ignorant, pseudo-Christian who has obviously never read his Bible jumps up and says, "But we have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." Ladies and gentlemen, as I think I've made clear, the church is not Caesar's. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. He bought and paid for it with his own spotless blood. And according to Ephesians 1:22, he is to be head over all things to the church. You know that means Caesar is head of nothing to the church. You say, Jesus is head of our teaching and our preaching and our evangelism and our bus ministry, for what it's worth. But the church finances, well, that's Caesar's area. But after all, you know, we have to run the church like we would run a business. Do you know that I've actually heard Christians make that kind of statement? Ladies and gentlemen, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is non-taxable because Caesar cannot tax God. Caesar has no claim to God's tithe. By the way, let me ask a question. Who is Caesar in America, ladies and gentlemen? Is Caesar the Congress? Is Caesar the President? Or is Caesar the Supreme Court? Where is Caesar, ladies and gentlemen? I've got some news for you. We do not have a Caesar in America. We do not have a Nazi Führer or a communist dictatorship in America. At least we're not supposed to. By the way, we don't have a Pharaoh in America either, even though the newly alleged and so-called president, the White House resident, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, eerily looks almost exactly like that famous golden mask of Egyptian Pharaoh King Tut. And by the way, seems to be dead set on enslaving God's people all over again. You know, in America, ladies and gentlemen, there is no Caesar. There is no Führer, and there is no Pharaoh. In America, we have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. If there is a Caesar in America, it is the people, not the executive branch, or the judicial branch, or the legislative branch. Well, so then the same brainwashed, ignorant Christian, who has obviously never read his Bible, jumps up and says, but Romans 13 says all government is from God, and we have to do whatever the government tells us to do. Oh, really? Then why did Peter and John say in Acts 5:29 that we must obey God rather than men? Ladies and gentlemen, as stated last week, Romans 13 reads, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. As I stated last week, Romans 13:1 does not mean that every government official or despotic tyrant that finds himself in political power was put there by God. It does not mean that all laws are ordained by God. It does not mean that all forms of government are ordained by God. And it does not mean that Christians are to do whatever the government tells them to do. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not teach that all civil rulers are put in office by God. In fact, the Bible clearly says all rulers are not placed in power by God. In the book of Hosea, chapter 8, God said, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Romans 13:1 does not mean that all laws are ordained by God. All laws are not ordained by God. The fact is that God judges and punishes his people when they obey bad law, which by definition is any law contrary to God's law as revealed in Scripture. Case in point, 2 Kings 17, where we read that God kicked Israel out of the land and sent them into captivity to Assyria and Babylon because they obeyed bad law of the heathen around them. And then he sent Judah into captivity because they obeyed the bad law that Israel made. All laws, obviously, are not from God. Extreme case in point. Hitler's decreed laws to exterminate the Jews of Europe was straight from the pit of hell, not from God. As was the case law, by the way, generated by the U.S. Supreme Court in the so-called Roe v. Wade decision, unleashing an even more abominable Holocaust in what was once Christian America, in which 50 million innocent unborn babies have been mercilessly slaughtered in the name of convenience and a woman's so-called right to choose. By the way, no man or woman has the right to choose to murder an innocent unborn child. You do not have a right to do whatever you want. You do not have a right to disobey God. You only have a right to do right. The only rights anyone has are those unalienable rights that come from God via his commands in Scripture. When God says, thou shalt not steal, it means your neighbor has property rights. When God says, thou shalt not kill, it means your unborn child has a right to life. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that in fact the Bible says very clearly in Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25, that unborn children within the womb are supposed to be protected. Let me quote this for you. Exodus 21, verse 22. If men strive, that means that they're fighting, and they hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, that means she goes into labor, and yet no mischief follow, that means the child survives unhurt, he shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. And if any mischief follow, that means if the baby is hurt, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Isn't it interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that popular phrase, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, is in the context of protecting unborn life within the womb? Look it up for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. That is in Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25. The Roe versus Wade decision was not from God. God does not approve of that. That was from the pit of hell, handed down by U.S. Supreme Court justices who will themselves answer to God for all of the innocent blood that has been shed in this land as a result of their misguided decision. Ladies and gentlemen, all laws are not from God. The unconstitutional Federal Reserve Act of 1913, converting our gold and silver biblical money system to worthless paper that is now ushering in the cashless economic system of the Antichrist, was not from God. Do you know that FDR's Social Security system was not from God? Do you know that socialism is unbiblical? That the welfare state is absolutely antithetic to Scripture and to the U.S. Constitution? Do you know that George Bush's unconstitutional Patriot Acts 1 and 2 were not from God? Suspending habeas corpus and setting aside posse comitatus to allow the U.S. military to operate on U.S. soil. That's not from God, ladies and gentlemen. Don't blame God for the militarized Nazi police state we are now getting, compliments of your so-called elected representatives in Congress, who have sold you out to the international banking cartel, who have plundered everything that you've got and everything that your children are going to have in the future to bail out the banks who caused all this mess. That's not God's idea. All laws are not from God. Don't blame God for the mess this country's in. If you want to blame someone, blame your preachers for selling out their pulpits and their churches to the state. Just like it says in Jeremiah chapter 2, the priest said not, "Where is the Lord?" They weren't looking for God. "They that handle the law knew me not," said God. "The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit." That says they walked after things that do not profit. They'd rather be a not-for-profit corporation than a true church. They'd rather get that tax exemption than to get their eternal reward at the judgment seat of Christ. God says, "Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." Ladies and gentlemen, just like Esau in Genesis chapter 25, trading in his birthright for a bowl of soup, the churches have traded in their glory as the cherished bride of Christ in favor of becoming not-for-profit corporations, which God says are of no profit to him. They have ceased being the salt of the earth. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, they have lost their savor and are thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. This is Pastor Sam Adams of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida. We'll be right back after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Independence Broadcast. This is Pastor Sam Adams on the Liberty Works Radio Network. And we've been discussing the biblical limitations on civil government. And I do want to stress that there are indeed biblical limitations on the civil government. The reason all political despots and totalitarian dictators hate the Bible is because the Bible says that they themselves will answer one day to the supreme ruler of this universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, in verses 18 to 20, after he had defeated Satan at the cross, that all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto him. And therefore, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that Jesus commanded us. Do you know that if all authority is given unto Jesus, that includes the civil authority? In fact, it is because the civil authorities are under his authority that we, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, have his authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Any so-called hate crime or thought crime legislation notwithstanding. Any so-called hate crime, thought crime legislation completely null and void under the Constitution, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, every earthly ruler is under the authority of the Lord Jesus, whom the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is our blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know that the Lord Jesus referred to himself in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 as the Prince of the Kings of the Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because they are under his authority. Every civil ruler will answer to the Lord Jesus one day for how they executed their office. Every judge in this land, from the county court to the Supreme Court, will answer one day to the Lord Jesus. Every city councilman, every county commissioner, every legislator, every congressman, every president, and every puppet master who controls every president behind the scenes, from Henry Kissinger all the way to the Pope and the devil himself, will answer one day to the Lord Jesus, the supreme judge of this universe. President Andrew Jackson once said that the Bible is the rock upon which this republic rests. It was because this nation was founded on the King James Bible as a Christian nation with strict limitations on the civil power that America was once the world's bastion of freedom and liberty. And by the way, it is not because of a bunch of lunatic Muslim hijackers with box cutters that we are losing that liberty. It's because America has turned aside from the Lord Jesus and from his word that America is falling into the pit of totalitarian police state Marxism. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus said, if ye abide in my word, then ye are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that truth only sets you free if you act on it. You know, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. America is being turned into hell because America has rejected its Creator and His Word, the Bible, and the Bible's strict limitations on civil authority. Now, as stated in the first hour, as soon as you mention any type of biblically mandated and righteous resistance to out-of-control civil government, some brainwashed, ignorant, pseudo-Christian who has obviously never read the Bible jumps up and says, but Romans 13 says all government is from God and that we have to do whatever the government tells us to do. Now, as we've been discussing, Romans 13, verse 1, which says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, does not mean that every government official or despotic tyrant that finds himself in political power was put there by God. It does not mean that all laws are ordained by God. It does not mean that all forms of government are ordained by God. And it does not mean that Christians are to do whatever the government tells them to do. The only sovereign that deserves absolute submission, unlimited submission, is Almighty God. To give unlimited submission to the state is to render to the state what only belongs to God and is to make the state your God. To whomever you give unconditional obedience is your God. There's a great verse in the Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 16, that says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We're not supposed to obey the devil. We are not supposed to submit to evil. Only God deserves unlimited submission. We are to submit to the civil authority only to the extent that the civil authority submits to God. I want to come back to my statement that Romans 13 does not teach that all forms of government are ordained by God. God did not invent or ordain socialism, communism, Nazism, or any form of totalitarianism. God did not invent nor ordain corporate fascism like we have in America today, in which huge, impersonal, international corporations determine and set the legislative agenda and the foreign policy of the nation. God did not invent nor ordain socialism, which, as we stated last week, is Satan's answer to God's command to man to work for a living. In addition to the fact that all forms of socialism involve legalized theft, or what is actually illegal redistribution of wealth, of plundering the productive to provide for sluggards who won't work, in addition to the fact that all forms of socialism make government our provider rather than God, in effect turning the government into God, all forms of socialism always end up in totalitarian communism. Socialism is always phase one of totalitarian communism or Nazism. Communism is nothing more than socialism at the point of a gun. It always ends up that way because there are always people like you and me who know the Bible and know that the Bible does not allow socialism. Therefore, they always have to come after us with their guns. Communism is completely antithetic to God's law because it requires the abolition of property rights and other natural rights that God ordained civil government to protect. Ladies and gentlemen, there are basically two law systems in this world. There's God's law system and there's Satan's law system. Under God's law system, God created man and is sovereign over man and has given man certain commandments under which he is supposed to live, and man created the government. Man comes together and forms societies, and he forms contractual arrangements whereby he's going to govern that society under God's law. That's why the Declaration of Independence correctly says that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. But see, then there's Satan's law system, in which government is at the top, and government is in control of man, and then government allows man to invent whatever God he wants to invent. So God is at the bottom, government's at the top, and it's flipped from God's law system. God's law system is based on punitive justice, under which men are free and at liberty until they break one of God's laws and in so doing cause some type of measurable harm to another man's person or property, at which point he can then be punished. Satan's counterfeit law system of communism is based on preventative justice, in which total population control is the key driving concept, and in which citizens are told that they've got to give up their individual rights for the common or the collective good. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God's law system leads to liberty, and it's enforced by peace officers. You know, your friendly neighborhood policeman used to be called a peace officer. God's law system is enforced by peace officers whose job it is to simply keep the peace. Satan's system leads to bondage in a police state and is enforced by law enforcement officers whose job it is to enforce ever increasingly restrictive laws to control the society. God's law system is based on the Ten Commandments, which, as we stated, are where our rights come from. Because God says, thou shalt not steal, I have property rights. Because God says, thou shalt not kill, I've got a right to life. On the other hand, Satan's law system is based on, or actually resulted in, Karl Marx's 10-plank Communist Manifesto, published in 1848, which was, by some reports, actually written for him by others, which is probably true, in which he attempted to make a case for achieving a utopia via communism, and in which he outlined 10 steps required to convert a free enterprise system to communism. I've got bad news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Every plank of Karl Marx's 10-plank Communist Manifesto has already been implemented in America today. Listen to what these planks are. Number one, abolition of private property. By the way, now do you see why communists hate the Ten Commandments? God says, thou shalt not steal anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. He has property rights. How are those property rights being abolished in America? Through property taxes. The power to tax is a power to destroy. Communists say we have to abolish property rights. That's the first plank of the Communist Manifesto, abolition of private property. Second plank, heavy progressive income tax. Did you hear that? The heavy progressive income tax is the second plank of the Communist Manifesto. Number three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. You know how much the Bible has to say about inheritance rights and how the property of the father must pass along to the son? Plank number four, confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. Plank number five, a central bank, known in America as the Federal Reserve System. Plank number six, government control of communication and transportation. Plank number seven, government ownership of factories and agriculture, which we see happening today. The government's buying up everything, every auto manufacturer, every bank. Plank number eight, government control of labor, the Federal Department of Labor. Plank number seven, corporate farms, regional planning. You know that almost every family farm has been wiped out in America? That almost all farming today is being conducted by corporate farming operations. And plank number 10, government control of education. You know that the Bible says that the fathers are responsible to educate their children, not the government. Our children do not belong to the government. Ladies and gentlemen, communism is completely antithetic to God's law because it requires the abolition of property rights and other natural rights that God ordained civil government to protect. It is the purpose for government to protect our rights, not to plunder them. Romans 13, again, does not mean every government official that finds himself in power was put there by God, does not mean all laws are ordained by God, does not mean all forms of government are ordained by God, and it does not mean that Christians are to do whatever the government tells them to do. What it says is that there is no power but of God. As I said last week, you must see that Romans 13, verse 1, is a great statement of the limitations that God himself places on the civil government. There is no power but of God. That means there is no law but God's law. It means that the civil government cannot make up its own power. It has no authority to go beyond what God has given it, and as God has defined it in his revelation to man, the Bible. When the civil authority presumes to go beyond the powers defined in Scripture, it has usurped powers not granted by God and must therefore at that point be resisted by God's people. When the Apostle Paul said there's no power but of God, he's confirming there is no valid law aside from God's law. You know, the Bible says in James 4:12, there is one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. The Bible says in Isaiah 33, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. I have no lawgiver besides God. If any law that Congress comes up with, or my county government comes up with, does not line up with Scripture, it's null and void from its inception. All civil laws must derive from and conform to God's law as revealed in the Bible. The point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is that all earthly authority is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all civil government and all laws must conform to his word, the Bible. This is Pastor Sam Adams of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Independence Broadcast. This is Pastor Sam Adams of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been discussing in this broadcast the biblical limitations of civil government because America has been and is being confronted head-on with a civil government that is increasingly out of control at every level, from the county to the state to the federal level, that is operating outside of both constitutional and biblical boundaries, and that has been taken over and hijacked by godless Marxist socialists that are hell-bent not only on controlling and dominating every aspect of our lives from the cradle to the grave, but also on subjugating us and deceiving us into complying with an increasingly evil, satanic agenda, which, by the way, God's people are biblically required to resist. Now, as soon as the typical Christian hears anything about resisting the government, he says, doesn't Romans 13 require us to obey the government? To briefly summarize the first two segments of this broadcast, my response to that objection is that Romans 13 does not say that all government rulers, all government systems, or all laws are from God, and does not teach that anyone is supposed to give unconditional obedience to the civil government. Only God deserves unconditional obedience. And by the way, whomever you give unconditional obedience to is your God. Romans 13, verse 1, reads as follows in the Authorized King James Bible. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This, again, ladies and gentlemen, is a wonderful statement of limited government. It is a declaration of the limitations that God himself places on the civil government. The phrase, there is no power but of God, means there is no law but God's law. All civil laws must come from or be in accordance with God's law, as revealed in God's Word, the Bible. The phrase, there is no power but of God, means the civil government cannot make up its own power. It has no authority to go beyond what God has given it, and as he has defined it in his revelation to man, the Bible. And when the civil authority presumes to go beyond the powers defined in Scripture, it has usurped powers not granted by God, and must at that point be resisted by God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 13, is clearly speaking of good government, not tyranny. He's saying that every Christian should have no problem obeying the civil government because the civil government, legitimate and lawful civil government, can only do what God allows it to do. Now we know that Paul is referring to good government rather than to evil tyranny because he says in verse 3 to 4, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Now, could you say that about Adolf Hitler? Paul says, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. By the way, that's evil as God defines evil. Ladies and gentlemen, civil rulers are only ministers for good when they are ministers for God. Rulers are only operating under God's authority when they are implementing his laws. When rulers cease being God's ministers to us for good, and instead of being a terror to evil works, become a terror to good works, and begin to pass bad laws, such as those outlawing the Bible and the gospel, then, ladies and gentlemen, they have usurped powers not granted by God. They are operating in opposition to God, and again, must at that point be resisted by God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, the only biblical purpose for civil government, as Paul gives in this passage, is to punish evildoers. That means those who transgress God's law. That means evildoers as God defines it. And to protect the citizenry's right to life, liberty, and property. By the way, if an activity is not declared by God's word to be criminal, it cannot be criminal in the civil arena. Romans 4:15 says, where no law is, there's no transgression. That means if God hasn't declared something to be sin or criminal, it's not sin. It's not criminal. Paul says in Romans 5:13 that sin is not imputed when there is no law. That means if God hasn't spoken, if God has not given a law condemning some activity, then that activity is not unlawful. It's not criminal. God expects those in authority to serve the people, to protect their rights, and to uphold justice and righteousness. And he's going to hold them accountable for how they do that. David in the Old Testament said in 2 Samuel 23, verse 3, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Did you hear that? God says, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. God expects judges to make righteous judgments, uninfluenced by bribery, by politics, or by the communistic agenda of the State Bar Association. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 to 20, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. God said, thou shalt not wrest judgment. That means you're not supposed to pervert judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. That means a bribe. For a gift or a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. That's what God expects of judges. God expects judges to make righteous judgments, uninfluenced by politics, by mobocracy. God said to the judges in Exodus chapter 23, verses 2 to 3, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. That means politics aren't supposed to influence your decision. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. That says a judge is not supposed to follow a multitude to pervert justice. He's not to base his decisions on societal politics. That says that the rights of the individual, no matter how poor he may be, are to be protected from the mob. Do you see why God's law leads to liberty and how Satan's law leads to bondage and slavery? God expects those in authority to serve the people, to protect their rights, and to uphold justice and righteousness. Whenever government itself becomes evil, when rulers cease being God's ministers to us for good, when they begin to operate in opposition to God, they must at that point be resisted by God's people. But, you say, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot obey evil laws for the Lord's sake. Do you know that the same Apostle Peter that said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, in 1 Peter chapter 2 also said, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. When the local civil government ordered him to stop preaching under the authority or the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the same Apostle Paul that said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, in Romans 13, also refused to be subjected to unjust punishment by local civil government, and on three occasions, boldly and eloquently, resisted local law enforcement and stood up for his rights as a Roman citizen. You'll find those examples in Acts chapter 16, chapter 22, and chapter 25. Ladies and gentlemen, unrighteous government must be resisted by God's people. The Bible is replete with several examples of righteous resistance to unrighteous government. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. The midwives in Egypt who resisted Pharaoh's wicked full-term abortion edict to murder the baby Hebrew boys. They refused to do that. And you know that God blessed them. It says he blessed them with houses for their disobedience. 1 Kings chapter 21. Righteous Naboth refused to give his children's inheritance to evil King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. So they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But you know what? The Lord went in there with them and delivered them. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel refused to stop praying as he had been ordered to by the civil authority. So he was thrown into the lion's den, but he came out unscathed. The early church in Acts chapter 17, of whom it is written, these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, unrighteous government must be resisted by God's people. William Tyndale, who boldly resisted the civil government in his day and translated the Bible into English so the common plowboy could read it as well as the Pope, was right. He said resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Ladies and gentlemen, all civil government and all earthly authority is subject to the lordship and the supreme sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore all civil government and all laws must conform to his word, the Bible. You know that the reason all political despots and totalitarian dictators hate the Bible is because their father, the devil, knows that the Bible places strict limitations on their authority, that the Bible says they themselves will answer one day to the supreme ruler of this universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that might be why our newly alleged and so-called president, the White House resident, Barack Hussein Obama, keeps repeating publicly and internationally that America is no longer a Christian nation? But in his exact words, whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We're also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, America is no longer one nation under God. It is multiple nations under many gods, exactly like the ancient Roman Empire. It is no longer a Christian nation, it is now an Obama nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that this statement made by Mr. Hussein is just as dangerous an attack against the freedoms that we hold dear as Americans, as was the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, as was the inside job attacks on the World Trade Center on 9/11 of 2001. This is a blatant, direct attack upon the fundamental and essential element of what made America the greatest and most prosperous nation on earth. What made America one nation under God, where liberty and freedom once abounded. As I said earlier, there are only two law systems in this world. There's God's law system and there's Satan's. God's law system leads to liberty. Satan's law system leads to bondage and slavery. Do you know, had it not been for America's profoundly Christian foundation and law system, America never would have achieved the supreme status it once had in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that the principles of freedom and liberty upon which this nation was founded are not secular principles. They are not religion-neutral principles. They are inherently and exclusively Christian principles. They can be found in no other source and no other religion than that which the Lord Jesus Christ established on this earth, as defined and determined once and for all time in God's Word, the Bible. But, ladies and gentlemen, as Patrick Henry warned us, it is when a nation forgets God that tyrants forge their chains. As the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Ladies and gentlemen, America has been and is being confronted head on with a civil government that is not only out of control and is operating completely outside of both constitutional and biblical boundaries, but that has been taken over and hijacked by godless Marxist socialists that are hell-bent on destroying this once great nation and absorbing America into the New World Order global government of the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, God's people must not only pull their heads out of the proverbial sand and acknowledge this fact, but must also do all they can to resist this evil and to try to restore godly government in this nation if it is not too late. If it is God's will. It is true that all that is required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. It's also true that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for this week. This has been the Independence Broadcast with Pastor Sam Adams of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida. Please join us again next Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Independence Broadcast, at which time we'll have more to say about the Antichrist agenda of this Hussein administration. Until then, this is Pastor Sam Adams, closing with the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where he said that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.